Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So, in this episode, there is a situation towards the end, or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there is no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault, because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation. Yes, thank you, Craig. Craig has been super here all day. Hey, everybody. It's good to see you. Well, again, I've done this 3 times today, so I have been on the grind all day. But I'm here with Michael, and I'm gonna tell you guys the most ironic. He's actually friends with Fill the Void and the other guy. They all three like know each other. It's crazy. And I interviewed them within the same weekend, and it's crazy. So I've had the most ironic, crazy is situation that I've been in. Wow, it's definitely challenging. But anyway, it's really late at night for me, so this is something. I don't usually do interviews this late at night, so he made me worthwhile. So I'm glad to have you here, Michael. Thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's super, I'm super excited. I've never had like an official interview like this before, so it's like
That is really hard to believe. I would have thought you had like two or three before me.
none at all. I've stayed pretty much completely tiny up until the last like 4 months, so everything's new.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I was your first, because we got a lot to talk about. Firstly, I want to highlight this. Last week, 7 days ago to be exact, you put out a new track, False Kingdom, with Iron Rage and Baby Goss. So I wanted to say, first of all, say congrats to that, and also ask about the song, because it's a vibe. I am not lying to you. I actually listened to it about 2 hours ago, because I forgot to listen to it. I was gonna listen to it yesterday, and then I forgot, and then I just kept listening to it multiple times. It's a jam. It's a jam, by the way. It's such a bop. So I want to know, what's the ins and outs of this particular song? How'd you get Iron Rage and Baby Goss to be on it? I had it come together.
It was so there's like tons of backstory that like could be for like the producer, like why the song came to be, all that stuff, like nitty gritty scene drama shit that's just like so tired. But basically, I was supposed to have a song on the third come out with Baby Gaz, the producer, and another guy. And we found out some shit about the other guy that was featured on it, and we're like, I don't really want that on there. And so whole shebang went out where we were talking to the producer and all the stuff, like, hey, we're gonna have to like bump this. Producer was not that isn't that great of a guy, and during this time he wasn't that great. And so I was like, all right, well, guess we're not releasing the song then. And so I've been trying since I want to say it was like my New Year's resolution. I wanted to have like one song release a month, because I did that way back in like 2020, and it was super cool. I loved the feeling of doing that. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do that this year. And so once I lost that track for March, I was like, well, shit, I gotta find a song to use. So I had just like this random beat from that same producer that I had bought like months ago, and I recorded something to it, and I was like, all right, we're gonna go with this. And so I asked, sent it over to my buddy Rage, and he was like, oh, this Fox, let me write something. And it was supposed to have my boy Jeeves on it as well, but he was like, I'm just not fitting on it. I don't want to shoehorn myself. And so I had sent it over to my boy, Baby Gaz, Kobe, and he was like, oh, yeah, I remember this beat. And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot I said that you were going to be on this one. Hell yeah, you want to write to it? And he's like, yep, give me the final verse. So his whole verse came together very quickly. It was like, I think both I Am Rage and Baby Gaz had their stuff done in like a week, and in like the final week of February I was able to get like everything together, because I was like, I have to have something for March. And then when we were writing it, it was basically just talking about some of the shit going on in the scene, where it was like a bunch of people that were like super toxic and super just not cool, and basically anybody that you were feeling that was just like the super toxic drama filled kind of shit storm going on. And so we all kind of pulled from those experiences and just made a track that was like super in your face aggressive about like all those scenarios just mashed into one. And it came out really well, and it's actually been doing pretty good despite the fact that I'd uploaded it like 6 days before it came out and didn't do any promotion for it. So I was kind of shocked at how many people are like really enjoying the song, which is good. I enjoyed the song a lot, but I was like, ah, nobody's going to listen to this. But it ended up kind of popping up out of nowhere. So, but yeah, it was basically just like a kind of like a therapeutic song just to like vent anger towards bad people.
Whoa. So that song's my new anger management song. That's like my new, that's my new anger management song. It's final.
Right there, it's sold.
But seriously, I definitely felt a lot when I was listening to the song. Like, I had no idea that the song actually came from a real life experience that you guys had. Although I'm sorry about what happened, but whatever happened, I'm glad it did, because y'all made such a vibey, well, I wouldn't say vibey, but more of such an aggressive, yet vibe song. So thank you guys for putting it out. Thank you to whoever angered you, because make it happen again and make another song like it.
it was one of those ones that was crazy, because like when I made my first album that I ever released, Burning, it was all about like anger towards like my super toxic ex and like her super manipulative shitty parents, and it was like just all anger. And it was after that that I was like, nah, I don't want to be this angry person anymore. So I completely like pivoted from that, and I grew. And it was like in the last like 2 months, everything was like pissing me off. I'm like, fuck this, I'm going back to making angry music. It just came out perfect. I was like, all right, maybe it's time to ignore therapy for just a couple of minutes while recording these songs.
I'm sorry, I'm just getting over that. But I'm glad that you take your energy on music. Is that always what you do when it comes to whole process of making music, or does it vary? Like what is your like move whenever, you know, you're making music, your whole musical process?
Well, like back when I first started, I've been writing basically my whole life. And I think when I was younger, I think I was way more talented at writing when I was younger, because I could write just totally made up stories. And I'm like, oh, this sounds great. And I'm like, yeah, this is badass. But in the beginning, when I started recording and like actually writing full songs, it came a lot from the emotional side. I didn't start doing therapy until end of 2019. And so the only real way that I had to filter through anything was I wrote a whole lot of like poetry, and I would write a ton of lyrics and stuff. And so like I say up till like my early stuff, but even up till now, I still write from that. But most of the time when I'm writing, it does have to somewhat stem from an emotion, whether it's like a feeling from like, because I have synesthesia, so it's like either it comes from a feeling of that and I'm like, oh, I want to make that, I like how that's making my brain feel, or it comes from like a deep heart emotion where it's like, you know, heartbreak or sadness or anger or whatever it may be. I tend to write from that and try to explain it in a, I don't want to say I try to make it sound fancy, because whenever I try to make stuff sound fancy, I sound like one of those like Shakespearean kids in middle school not adding thy every sentence was super cool. So I tend to try and make like a kind of try and build a little bit of a world or like a pocket with whatever I'm feeling on it. Like with False Kingdom, it was a lot more talking about, oddly enough, the image I had in my head was kind of like a medieval kind of part where it was like heretics, where they were like preaching and talking about false shit, and it was corrupt throughout. And so that's where like my mindset went when I was writing that one. I took the anger and put into that. But then when talking about one of my other heavy songs, Unmarked, my wife, when she was pregnant, had a dude at her work that sexually harassed her, and I was pissed. Like, that was probably the most angry I'd been probably ever in my life, and all I wanted to do was beat the shit out of this dude. And so I sat with that for months, and then when I got the beat and I was writing to it, all that like aggression came out. So all of that like, I want to beat the fuck out of you, was on that energy. But then if you look at my song with my side project Heartbound, Feel Again, it's going back to talking about like, you know, the closest I'd been to feeling as depressed or suicidal or numb to feelings as I had when I was like 12 or 13. So it varies from song to song where it's pulled from, but it usually centers around some sort of feeling that I had when working, like that I had upon creating it, whether the song, like the instrumental, because I tend to make all my own instrumentals and everything. So it was either like a feeling I had when writing or creating the instrumental, or I go into it with a mindset of, okay, I'm feeling sad, I'm gonna make that, or I'm feeling like blue, like I'm feeling the color blue in my brain, so I'm gonna make something that reminds me of the color blue. It tends to always have to come from a feeling. I can't just write something for the sake of writing it, because then it feels disingenuous, I suppose. But yeah, it's usually from a feeling. That's usually where it comes from.
Oh, interesting. And I love that you pull from something really personal. And to be honest, I'm kind of a little bit scared now, because you said that was your angriest moment. I'm kind of scared now. You know, just, I'm going to make sure to never make you angry. I never want. I'm going to make sure I'm angry.
As long as you don't do something god awful like that. That I didn't even know I could reach that. Apparently, that's a normal thing, though, because I was talking to one of my other buddies that whose wife was pregnant and they had a kid, and I was sharing how I was like, dude, I was so angry. I've never been that angry before. And he was like, nah, he's like, my wife was pregnant and I was so angry. Like, somebody would do, like, look at her wrong, and I'd be like, S, I'm gonna beat them up. And I'm like, okay, good. So it's not like a unusual thing. It's a protective nature. And he's like, yeah, I'd like to think I'm not crazy violent like that. And I'm like, I know I'm not. So good to know it's a one and done kind of thing, unless she gets pregnant again.
Right. God, what was I at? Right. But that's really cool that you take personal experiences and how you feel, you channel them into songs. It's a very good way. I know a lot of people that do that. The way you do it, it's powerful, the way that you write and feel. It's really powerful, and I really feel it when the song's out. It's like, whoa. It's like, you don't want to mess with this guy. Look at his writing. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I was like, oh, wow. I'm kind of scared to interview him now. Like, I don't know how I was going to feel when I was talking to him outside the mic.
don't worry. This isn't no YNW Melly type shit. It ain't no murder on my mind. Oh, no, my friend's dead. Oh, no, I killed him. It's like, nah. Nah, it's strictly, if you meet me in person, I'm like way more secluded. Not secluded, what the fuck is it? Like, introverted-ish? So, like, in person, like, I'll just, like, give you, like, a stare, and I'll be like, you're going in my journal tonight.
Cool. Good to know so that when I actually do see you in person someday, I won't be scared off when you actually stare. I'll be like, oh, I see what he's doing.
Oh, he's just lyrically a killer. Ha-ha.
What was I going to say? Oh! I actually do want to ask this. And I did actually study your Instagram. It's not like I'm on it right now, but I actually did want to ask a little bit about this particular group. Apparently it's on your Instagram known as Heartbound, so I want to ask about it because all I know from it is that y'all are an alternative post-hardcore band, so I want to get into that. What is that, and like the ins and outs of the group.
So ever since I was younger, I grew up with like whatever my dad was really good about, like not putting a specific genre and being like, this is all we listen to. I grew up listening to like Third Eye Blind next to like Eminem and Kesha, and listening to like Slipknot next to Carly Rae Jepsen. So like I had like an extensive overview of like spectrum of music. And so when I was like 5, I was like, dude, I heard The Diary of Jane by Breaking Benjamin for the first time. And people who listen to this that are my friends or family, they're gonna be like, oh my god, here he goes, he's talking about fucking Breaking Benjamin again. But like that, when I was 5, that blew my fucking mind. I was like, oh my god, I want to do that. I want to play guitar and write gritty songs and blah blah blah. And so as I kept getting older, I kept trying to start up like a bunch of different bands and shit, and nothing ever came of it, ever. Like, I think one band, we got close to completing a song, and then it never got finished, and that was when I was like 16. So it was like, I never had good luck with it, and I never thought that I personally was talented enough to do everything by myself. And so, cut to last year, I was working on my second album, Mixed Feelings, and I was producing all of it myself, and I had been streaming when a viewer was like, hey, what's that song that you were working on? And it was one I was making for a clothing brand company that they ghosted me and never mentioned anything, and they never used the track, but they never even said anything. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I was like, oh, it's just something that was forgotten. And it had some acoustic guitar in it. And he's like, yo, I like this, you should try completing it. And I dove in deep. And as I was working, trying to rework it, I ended up creating my song Poppity, which was coincidentally the fourth and final single, lead single before the album came out, and is probably the most popular one off of the album. But it was like this alternative new age pop punk kind of vibe. And it was super cool. And it was my first time, you know, making like bass on the thing, like an actual bass guitar using a sample and like cutting it and using that and like using an electric guitar and mixing stuff and all that. And it was super cool. And so about 2 weeks after the album had come out and I was trying to recreate that, like catch lightning in a jar again and make another poppity, essentially, I started working on the guitar and it ended up having the melody that's known as the Feel Again melody for Heartbound. And I think I finished that song in probably 3 days over the course of like 12 hours. And I'd never done anything like that before. And by the time I came out with it, I was like, well, I can't release this under Michael Riccardi. I was like, this is cool. And this is really good, but it doesn't fit the vibe. And I don't want to like hard pivot to just working on what I call quote unquote full band projects. And I was trying to think about it and I was talking, coincidentally, I was talking with Nooses and he was mentioning, he's like, oh, you should do like a side project kind of thing. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know if this is like a one and done kind of thing. And that kind of stuck in my mind. And so over the course of like the next week or two, I was trying to be like, well, what would I call it or whatever? And I was scrolling randomly through my phone and I saw from way back in like 2018, I had just like one of two things written underneath possible band names. I have like five of those notes in my phone with like probably a cumulative 24 band names in there. Not all of them good, mind you, but names nonetheless. And I saw the name Heartbound and I was like, oh my God, that's it. And so I ended up planning for it to release in December. I initially was going to release it in like October and I just couldn't get it finished. Me, my wife and I were moving. We were having to pay for like two apartments at the same time for a couple months. I was working a shit ton. I never had time for music. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just push this on the back burner. And it wasn't until like probably that October, because I was going to release Feel Again, and then like that was going to be it. Like I was like kind of done releasing music by that point. I was like, okay, I've given it about 5 years, and I'm literally not getting anywhere with it, and I have my son on the way, so I'm like, I can't do this. But stuff ended up working out, which I'll get into later on, I'm sure. But so December, I was like, okay, I'll release Feel Again as Heartbound and I'll see what happens. And, the project ended up releasing. My son came early, so I never got to do promo for it. But people still liked it. But the whole vibe of it is to one day, hopefully be, think like, if you know the band, it's called Beartooth. It's, basically everything's done by the lead singer, Caleb Shomo. And he just has like touring band that, you know, takes pictures with him and does that. So it kind of fills out and is like, oh, it's not just a one man band, when in reality, he really does everything himself. But I want Heartbound to eventually be that kind of thing. And it's supposed to be more of like the grittier emotional side that I always wanted to do when I was younger. It, like, I released that song, I made the song, and my inner like child just squealed. Like, it was a song that I could like look in the mirror and it would be like, oh my God, this would be something that my younger self would lip sync to in the mirror, acting like he's playing on stage in front of thousands. And that's pretty much what the project is just a way for my inner child to be super happy, but it is above that deep foundational part. Is it's a project for me to kind of dive more into my poetry writing side, but combine it with music, because I don't really have the opportunity anymore to just sit down and work on poetry like I used to back when I was like 14, 15, 16. I just don't have the time for it. And so the project is that kind of outlet for me to get out the more grittier, realistic side of things without having to like dress it up as, you know, oh, it's kind of poppy and you can dance to it. It's more like, yeah, you can cry and, you know, mosh to it next to your whoever. You can headbang to it and cry. You can do whatever. It's just that outlet for me.
Wow. Ultimately,
in the end.
I had no idea that the group was such a impactful outlet for you. First of all, it's crazy to find out the name actually came from an archived list. That was funny. But seriously, though, it's impressive that you find the band a really nice outlet. That's really good to have whenever you're an artist, is an outlet, you know. Some people, it's a band like you. Some people, it's a notebook. Some people's boxing. I know somebody who boxes to let themselves out. But the point is, I'm glad that the band overall is a positive addition to you. And I'm happy for that. So props to that.
Thank you. It's kind of weird listening to it now, because it's like a bunch of stuff that I would have wanted to make with a full band, and it definitely adds its own stress, because it's like I do everything myself. I engineer, mix, record, all that stuff, all of it. And so it's kind of like I guess I could do this whole time. I just had to be stubborn as hell to push through the laziness for it. So, but it has become, well, I think I've put more time working on that than I have any of the Michael Riccardi releases in the last like 5 months. I think I've spent probably a cumulative 2 hours on recording, mixing, and everything for Michael Riccardi releases. And I've probably spent at least like 24, if not 36 hours on Heartbound stuff, just because that seems to be where my brain's going. Because I have ADHD, so I jump a lot. That's why I don't have one specific sound, because I get bored. And I think right now that's just my fixation, is like, oh, this is new. I can get better at this. I'm going to just push, 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 push. And then it's going to release, and it's going to be like,
very
all right,
valid,
I'm going to take a
very
break.
Valid. That makes a lot of sense about that. So, right now, I want to take this time to say to the fans, does anyone want coffee? And I'm about to explain why I asked that question. And he's laughing because he knows I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna ask the fans again, would you all like some coffee? I sure as hell would like some. You want any coffee, Michael?
Sure. I could go for a cigarette, too.
He knew I was about to ask him. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I couldn't hold it in. I love jokes. I love puns. But seriously, what the hell is cigarettes and black coffee?
That is the brainchild of my buddy Tyler, or Thy Core Boy, and I. We, about a month ago, and a half ago, we met like 2 months ago. He did an interview that ended up going for 5 hours, and by the end of it, it wasn't even an interview. Like, I know I said this is like my first interview. It really is, because that one was almost like a recorded phone call between like two people that had been friends for years. And we had met like 2 days before that had happened. And we bonded over like both growing up as scene kids and everything. And he always does, his PC died a couple weeks ago. So he's been like having withdrawals until he can get it fixed. But he would do like daily reviews on independent bands, even some bigger bands or whatever. And so we both bonded over that, and we're like, hey, you like journaling, like doing journalism. I like doing journalism. You like publications. I like publications. Why don't we make a group where we just review small artists and get to know them and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, what are we going to call it? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, let's call it. Said something. And I was like, I looked at him. I'm like, no, that doesn't work. It was like Malevolent Media or whatever. I'm like, no, that just sounds like a metal band. And I was like, we're not doing just metal bands. And if you talk to him at all, you'll know he is a chronic cigarette smoker. And I work as a barista at Starbucks. And so it was like, hey, why don't we call ourselves the Cigarettes and Black Coffee Publication? He's like, that's badass. And then he made all the accounts and he's like, it's too long, so we're just going to call ourselves Cigs and Black Coffee. But it's basically just his brainchild. So we can like, it's basically an excuse just to talk to bands and be like, we like your music. Can we talk with you about music? And then that's when we get in and we're like, haha, you're our friends now. Can't escape. You're trapped. We gave you love and now you're going to give me affection. But yeah, it's basically just a journalism outlet for now. We're hoping to do a podcast, have like a website and do possibly like touring podcasts in the next like year and a half, but for now it's just some little journalism, sharing some thoughts and words on a screen about some little fancy music inclined people, and it's pretty fun. He's done most of it since I have a newborn and I have no free time. we're working on a schedule so that way I can finally put, because I have like 3 posts that I keep just like not having the time to post, and I'm like, I need to do this. I need to take a second and work on this because it's so much fun to do, and then you get that like deeper understanding and connection with the artist. And as an independent artist, I know how hard it is to get any exposure, and like nobody wants to give you a chance if you're like tiny. Like I sat at like 22 monthly listeners for damn near 5 years and nobody took me seriously. And it's one of those ones where it's like, there's a lot of good talent out there, especially with how accessible recording and releasing music has become, especially since 2020, because everybody all of a sudden became way better at doing that shit when I'd been doing it for 2 years before that, and they were like way better at it. But it's so much more accessible, and it's so cool to be able to talk to these people where it's like, damn, you really put your soul into that. Let's talk about it. Here's your platform. We have 2 people and a corn chip that are reading these things, but hey, at least you get to tell those 2 people in that fancy corn chip that this music was cool. So it's a super fun, goofy thing, and 9 times out of 10 it's just Tyler yelling at me on the story that I need to call him.
I would have never thought to name is unorthodox, because I never would have thought to take that. I love y'all's push though, love y'all's drive. Maybe we can do like a cross podcasting someday. But I thought y'all actually sold those. When I was looking, I was like, huh, I wonder if they sell that, because I would totally buy it.
It would save him a lot of money, yeah. I'm sure. That may be down the line. He may be like, hey, we're going to release Black Coffee cigarette. And I'm like, all right, you have fun with that. I don't... Like, sure, why not? I'm not growing the tobacco, so good luck, homie. Godspeed.
Oh, God. Sorry, I need to get my head back in the game. But props to that, actually. That actually looks really good. Y'all, like, interviewing. So y'all are doing, like, basically a similar thing of mine. So I have competition now, I see. Okay, I'm gonna watch out for y'all, I see.
got those killer lyrics and the competitive market, you know, just getting hit with double whammy.
Double whammies. Oh my god, man. Oh my god. I don't even know what to say right now. I'm going to reset because I just... Oh my lord, I just need to take a breather. Another thing that I wanted to point out was another song that you have out that for some reason you felt was really important to you because you put it in your bio. Let's talk with Lay. Would you like to lay with me while we talk? Get it? Because that's the name of the song, which is called Lay, which features Joey Mortal. So I want to talk a little bit about that song. So I'm curious to know, again, how did the song come? What got you to work with Joey? And all about that song.
That song, I'd been eyeballing the beat since like October, and I loved it. I would go to like YouTube and write to it, all that stuff, and I'm like, nah, there's no way I can like have this. I was like, I'm broke as fuck. There's no way. And it's from the same problematic producer, but it was like the producer at the time, he was like, oh hey, it's $10, and I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna take that. That's mine now. You're coming home with me. And it did. And I was working on it, and I was like, man, I just don't want to work on the song alone. Because I just... Tashira had hopped on Unmarked, and that was my first time having a collab that someone asked me to. That track was wild. That's a story in and of itself. But somebody asked me to be on it, and I'm like, fuck yeah, please, I'd love to. And so with this one, I was like, hey, I have a feature, or I have a slot open. Would somebody want to work on it with me? And Joey, who I had just found out about from a cypher that him and Nooses had done with a few other guys, who I also became friends with, he was like, hey, I'd love to take a stab at it. And Joey was like, super small and everything, like my same size. I'm like, fuck yeah, bro, we're gonna join together and drop something to our five family members listening. And he recorded his verse, and I loved it. I was like, this is so damn hard, this is so good. And I didn't want to take it in the same vein as Unmarked, because Unmarked was like an angry song, like. And this one is still sort of, but not entirely. It's more like the right amount of anger for a song like that. For me, a lot of the lyrics were written from the perspective of like having a couple of friends that I knew that after, you know, separation, we weren't friends anymore. For whatever reason, even though it ended fine, like the friendship just kind of split apart, we grew apart, it was like a bunch of bullshit was being spread about me, and I'm like, that's not cool. And so a lot of the lyrics tackle a lot of that, like the line, the world will infect when I take out your heart, isn't a literal sense, it's more in a poetic sense of like, you know, you had a heart, now you don't, and the world has completely made it toxic. And a lot of the lyrics later on in the track are talking about that similar scenario. Joey, like, I'm on the record here, Joey, if you listen to this, I'm gonna set it straight. I think I got bodied on my own track. Like, Joey came in with nothing but fire ass lyricism and similes and metaphors and all that shit. And I'm like, damn, I have to perform this by myself when he has the best part? I'm like, no fucking way. But he came in, he did his thing, really killed it. The coolest part was that we had a back and forth in the second verse where we kind of, it was like me, him, and then it cut into his verse. And that was the coolest shit I've ever done with somebody. And it was cool to play off of both of our strengths, because he has just this like super grimy, like super just hard hitting lyric style with like this voice that's like rough with like somehow flows really cleanly. And it was super cool. I can't picture anybody else being on that track besides Joey. And it's wild that he said yes, because that had way more talent on his small parts than the entirety of mine. I'm like, damn, bro. I should have just given you the fucking beat, because he killed it. So, and it's a coincidence. It's been a weird song because it kind of blew up. Also, like, it kind of popped out of nowhere. And it was like, wow, damn, that's weird. Why is it? That's wild. Because I've never had a song that in the first week of release, it hit over 1,000 streams. And I was like, wow, okay. What a way to start the year. And I think it's almost to 2,000 now. And so it's a special song, because it was just, it was like the song that I would turn on my playlist. And I was like, man, I want to make something like that. It was that exact kind of song, but I made it. So, and I am not ashamed to say, I listen to that song almost daily. I like that song. I listen to it a lot. My dad likes it. He listens to it a lot too. I'll regularly get a text from him. He's like, this song is awesome. And so, but that also led me and Joey to become really good friends, because we worked really well. And we've got sneak peek. We've got a few things that we're in the works right now that we're working on. But yeah, it's super cool. Like that song, I feel like that song opened a lot of doors for me in the last couple of months that I don't even think Unmarked would have been able to open for me. Unmarked kind of left the door a little ajar. Lay just fucking blew it to shatters and was like, here's Johnny! Wow. So.
Well, props to it. To be truthful, I listened to it once because I was on a music jam for like 30 minutes, but I'm gonna listen to it again because it sounds really fun. So I'm gonna put it on my work playlist because I gotta go back to work tomorrow, but I'm gonna put it on my work playlist. Don't
Mondays.
Even get me started.
It's always Mondays.
Bro. Don't even. Like, oh my god. Before I forget mentioning, and this is actually coming in a shy of a few weeks, but you have a concert coming up. You actually are going to be at a concert, your first show named Shadowfest, which is gonna be live on April 1st in the Struck of Austin, Texas, which is actually 4 hours from me. I'm in Houston, so right.
No way, that's so cool.
Yep, I am in
Houston. Yeah, Shadowfest. It's wild. I say it's my first. I'm gonna say it's my first real concert that I'm performing at. I played one last year during South by Southwest. Oh my god! I've talked about it before, but let's just say I almost got scammed out of the money I put to play at the show. I almost got shot like 7 times, and it was. Awful. I was like in the middle of a gang war too, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? So I just kind of soft rebooted my show career, and I'm like, okay, this is the first one. But yeah, it's in Austin. It's not super fucking far drive, because Austin, as a fellow Texan,
yes,
you know that fucking our cities are huge. They're fucking massive. And so I don't have to drive to another fucking state on the other side of Austin. It's more over on this side of Austin. So I'm like, woo! But I'm super excited. It's going to be cool. I get 20 minutes to perform, which is absolutely insane. My name's on a flyer. My buddies Shitani, Hashira, and Who's Dead Wizard are coming in from their respective hometowns. Shitani and Hashira, I think, are taking a train from Michigan. So I'm like, damn, dedication. But they're driving in, and we're all gonna perform. We're all gonna hang out and meet for the first time. So I'm super stoked. I'm super nervous to perform a lot of the songs because I've never done Screams live. So it's going to be really interesting to see if my voice holds up. I'm taking a shot of whiskey. No, shot of tequila before everything. So hopefully it warms everything up. And if it's bad, I won't notice it. But I'm like, I'm super pumped for it. It's going to be wild. And that's not even the coolest show that I'm playing this year, but I can't talk about the second one yet. But yeah, I'm super pumped. Shadowfest is going to be so dope. And I get to meet a lot of the local people around, which I didn't even know.
Nice. Major props to you. I'm so excited. I wish to go. Unfortunately, they put an event. They put a giant-ass event on the same day as it. Like, if I didn't have that event going on, I would still pay. It's only $5 to get in. I would totally pay for to see you in person. I'm going to Beaumont for something. I forgot what the name is, but I'll be in Beaumont on the 1st and 2nd.
That's going to be kind of cool. Get to be a little tourist for a little bit.
And hopefully, once I get, like, more money coming in, I want to do it, like, for real. I want to see my guests in person. A lot of them has begged for me to, like, go and do, like, a whole tour and see them all. So, that's going to be, like, really exciting. That's, like, my dream come true if I can do that.
Oh, yeah. That's, my goal for 2023 is to go on a tour, and what that counts is I play like 3 shows in a row and they're in different cities. That's my goal. That's my like biggest dream. I'm like, oh, I'm on tour. Cool. Bucket list. So, and it's same thing, same kind of boat. It's like, God, just save up that fucking money. But this economy, shit.
Nice. I got nothing. Well, I just wanted to point that out because that's like a huge accomplishment for you, so I'm really, really, really excited for you, and I can't believe you're only 4 hours away from me. That's good to know.
Yeah, actually, me and some of the local guys here are hoping to put up a show in Austin towards the end of the year, so if that happens, you'll be the first one to know, since you're
Road to Houston. I'm not gonna freak out at this moment. Now, I need to clarify one thing. Do you actually have pink hair?
At the moment, I do not. Before the show, I will. It was a crazy 2020 COVID quarantine idea that I was gonna dye my hair just purple. I don't know why. I was just like, fuck yeah, purple. I'm gonna look at that. I looked like everybody calls him the trash can. I can never remember his fucking name, but he's like the creepy dude from Tokyo Ghoul. And my sister was like, ew, you look like him. And I'm like, yeah, right. Well, fuck you. Thanks. But purple didn't stay in my hair. So it kind of turned to like a kind of coppery pink color. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. I want to dye my hair pink. So I dyed my hair pink. And I think for a solid almost a year, I just kept re-dyeing my hair pink. And then I let my hair grow out before I met my now wife, but then girlfriend at the time for the first time. I was like, oh, I want to meet you for the first time in person with brown hair. I was like, you got to see my normal hair color. So I let it grow out, and then dyed it again, and then I was like, oh man, I should kind of probably have like brown hair for when I, you know, when my son's born. And I didn't. I had like half brown, half pink hair because of how fast my hair grows. But I say I have pink hair all the time because that is the dream right there. I want to just constantly have pink hair because I fucking love the way it looks. Not the last color. The last color actually dyed my hair and it looked like I was a fucking highlighter. I looked like you could just like, oh yeah, we're going to have a lunch on Tuesday and meeting on Wednesday. And then you just pick me up and run my hair over the calendar and it's like pink. So, but I would love to just have pink hair constantly because my confidence goes like all the way up through the roof. I'm like, fuck yeah. Plus, it's a good marketing thing. Like, everybody loves it when I have pink hair. They're like, oh, that's so dope. You have pink hair. That's a cool aesthetic. I'm like, thanks. Yeah, that's keeps fair. The impression away.
I mean, I definitely envision pink hair. You gotta make another pulse with pink hair. I want to see that. Now I want to see that. So...
No, don't worry. I'm going to have a video out announcing a new song with as well as another show announcement, like for the same show, hopefully in the next like week or two. And it's going to have pink hair. So you don't have to wait for long. Nobody has to wait for long anymore because I'm going to go buy a box of pink hair dye from Splat. If anybody wants to know what color I use Splat Ombre.
Good to know.
Yeah, pick and choose.
I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited. Now, you mentioned a couple of times that you do have a son. Aww. Is that him in the pinned picture? In that little what is that? What is that? He's in that thing behind you. Yeah, it's the post from March 7th.
The bouncer?
He is literally just rocking back and forth in that little... What is that?
That is a bouncer, and it's an automatic bouncer. So you don't have to, like, have them right next to you, like, constantly keeping it moved. So they'll bounce. And he's too derpy to do it himself. Because, God, he's old. He should be doing my taxes by this point. But he's just in, like, this little bouncer. And it was, my wife and I take it where I work, like, super early mornings. Like, I go into work at, like, 5 in the morning. And I get off at 10, so she can go to work and work until, like, 6. So for, like, that solid, like, 6 to 7 hours, I'm by myself. And, he's at this point where he just won't stop crying unless you're holding him or you're giving him attention. So when I recorded that, and even within the video, you can hear like a kind of noise because he was starting to get fussy. But I put him in the corner and I thought I'd put him out of camera view because I have like my ring light permanently set up in one spot so I can get that nice Ricky Dick style angle that everybody comes to know and love. But he was like dead ass in the center of the frame. And I was like, well, shit, I'ma milk my baby for views. I was like, that's a gremlin. Look at him. He's cute. Listen to my music. Yeah, he's just in a bouncer. Usually I have him in like a swing, but he had just thrown up in it. So I had to go grab the bouncer. And fun fact, that's not fun, he shit himself in that and got all over the seat, so that had to get washed right after that video. So, you guys got the full experience. I'm sure he shit himself while the video was okay. Going on. That's probably why he
I'm gonna have to get that image out of my head. I'm gonna have to get that thing out of my head. But the reason why I want to point that out is because it leads me to my next question, which is probably the most important. I need to ask, how is it like to, first of all, to work as a barista at Starbucks, which, if I'm ever in Starbucks in Austin, when I'm over there, please tell me where, which one, so I can get a free coffee. Number two, you are a father, and that little guy, he is cute. How do you manage to handle all of that and have a music career? I want to know, what's your strategy?
My strategy is internal screaming constantly. In reality, the Starbucks I work at is Austin Aquarium. Like, I work over by the Austin Aquarium. You ever pop over there, I'm usually working in the mornings. I work like 5 days a week. Great. So, always. Whether I'm going to be enthusiastic or not entirely depends on how much I want to die that day. Because by the time I wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get to work by 5, I'm like dead. Like, I think Saturday, so yesterday I was working, and that's my Friday, and I like fell asleep taking orders, and it was super funny because nobody knew I fell asleep. But working as a barista, if big brother, daddy, whatever Starbucks is listening to this, I love my job, I really do. On the DL, fucking blows. Sucks. Benefits are nice. The pay is nice only because Austin forces Starbucks to pay properly now, because they have a minimum wage of like $15 or $16 in Austin. And when you're within Austin city limits, even if you're a mom and pop shop, you have to pay your employees $16 an hour, which is really nice. Go Austin. Thank you. But it's exhausting. It's cool. I've worked in the food industry for about 6 or 7 years now. I started when I was like 14 and I turned 22 this year. So I've been worked too much in the food industry, because I worked from 14 to 18 at a barbecue place, and then I'm coming up on 2 years, so probably about 6 years. I've been doing customer service for like 7 or 8. About 8 years. But it's nice. The good customers and the good regular customers are fucking phenomenal. I look forward to seeing them every day. The bad ones really make you go like, why? How do you even breathe on your own? Like, how do you do anything without somebody holding your hand? Like, the shit I have at Starbucks, I could make a podcast called Barista Shit Talk, I guess. And I could just, like, share. Like, you have the people that are like, I want 5 cubes of ice. And just by shaking their cup, they're like, there are 7 cubes in here. And it's like, you drive a beat up car with a hole in the side. How the fuck can you tell that there's 7 cubes of ice? I don't even know how many cubes of ice are in there. Or the ones where they're like, I said I wanted a Trenta. And it's like, actually, you said you wanted a small. And it was a totally different drink. Not a Trenta pink drink. You wanted a tall black coffee. So it has its ups and downs. I'm thankful I have good coworkers, because otherwise, miserable. The dad doing all this, it's a learning curve, 100%, I have ADHD, which makes it hard to stay focused on tasks, and I get like hyperfixations and stuff. But I'm also, sort of on the spectrum. And actually right now my therapist and I are trying to figure out how much I am. And so having less me time and like so much noise all the time, total learning curve for that. But nothing has ever made me feel more fulfilled than having my son. He makes it a joy to wake up in the morning. Not when he screams, though, but like, I wake up in the morning for work and I'm like, I don't want to go in today. I hate my job. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. And I look over and I see him, and I'm like, nah, this is all for him. and it makes it entirely change. I look forward to waking up and giving him a kiss on the forehead and heading out, or waking up and saying hi and having him smile at me before I leave in the morning, or hold him and carry him around. The music part, that one is a lot different than I thought it would be, because I thought I could just like, I thought he would sleep a lot more than he does right now. Because right now he's in the phase of his brain is learning so much, and he's learning about everything around him, and he just wants to absorb knowledge that he doesn't want to go to sleep because he doesn't want to miss anything. So it's like, shit, I need you to go to sleep. And he's like, I'm going to scream instead. And it's like the trade deal. It's like, you know, you offer me a bed, I offer you screaming. That's what it is. And so the music is like a 50-50, because I also have a puppy. I have an almost 8-month-old puppy. And he's huge. He's like 70 pounds. And we didn't know he was going to be 70 pounds. And he's so attached to me. So between both of them, it's hard to like get time, because he's like the puppy's part husky. So if he's not around you and he's upset, he'll just go. It's like, well, damn it, I can't record because you're howling. Get over here and get in the mic so I can sample you. So usually it's during the day I'm like working on like either beats or napping, one of the two. And so at night is usually around the time that I'll work on it when my wife's here, and I'll take like 30 to 45 minutes every night to work on something, which helps with the balance, and it helps me not to spend 5 hours working on music when usually I can do that a couple days in a row before I start hitting where I'm just like stumped and I'm not able to do anything. I can usually hit about an hour or two of like good making, and then the rest is just me burned out, unable to do it, but I don't want to stop because I'm stubborn. So the balance is just like get to that nice sweet spot. And because a lot of it, like I also now I have the side project, and then I have I'm working on something super cool. It is an album for June. Well, I guess it is a brand new album, sort of. But I'm working on that, and that's like 14 songs I'm having to finish and get the artwork done for and everything. And I do all that. And then I have a project, another long EP, small album for the fall, as well as another album I'm working at for the fall. So a lot of it is just, I have a calendar right beside me that's like a physical calendar, and it just is like a whole lot of this is the deadline, this is when I need to do this, this is when I need to do that. And it gives me enough time to, I can plan out, I can be way more efficient, and I can spend enough time with my wife and dog and son than just like not just spending too much time on everything. And I am a fly by the seat of my pants kind of dude. So this is all new learning stuff I gotta figure out, because you can't fly by the seat when your kid has to eat every 2 hours. It's like, all right, well, I'm gonna just not eat for the whole day while I'm working on something and wonder why I'm frustrated. That little gremlin will be like, I'm hungry. Whoa. And it's been 30 minutes. Feed
me. I'm sorry, I'm just taking all this in. wow. So that is quite a heavy plate you got. All I can say is, thank the Lord you are alive. That's all I can really say. Thank God you are alive. Because if I did half the stuff you did, I would be dead every day. So thank the Lord that you are alive and that you're making music. Because, oh my God. That's all I can say, to be honest. I mean, whoa, okay. But seriously though, that is really great that you're able to balance all those things with a condition and with a baby and a dog and have all these jobs. It's amazing what you could do. And I'm so proud of you and so happy that, you know, you're doing what you love to do. So props to you. And yeah. And I'm so happy that I got to speak to you.
Me too. I'm happy. I'm always happy to, like, overshare about everything in regards to, like, my life and music with somebody. So it's, like, it's always just, like, super fun to come out and talk about the backstory. Because, like, in this, I feel like a lot in this new music culture, it's a lot of quantity over quality kind of thing. So, like, gone... Oh, not entirely gone. I don't want to sound like a total boomer, but it's like the days of like track by track commentary albums and the, you know, backstories behind songs. They're not as popular. People usually don't want to know about it. They're kind of just like, eh, I listened to it. It sounds good. Whatever. So it's always, I'm always appreciative of being able to come on and talk about what went into the different tracks and songs in life that leads to these things. It's always super cool because I always like to know way more information than probably necessary. So it's super cool. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate you reaching out. It's like super
absolutely
cool.
It was such a joy to talk to you. And it was actually fun. You are a great conversationalist. I can see why y'all have a thing together. And wow, Nyx has actually recommended you, a little secret. He actually recommended you. He sent me a whole list of people to follow up on, and you were on it. And he said to check these people out, and they're amazing, and they're great, and you gotta check these people out. I was like, oh shit, okay. Let's see what they're about. And apparently he was right. He was spot on.
Dang, making me feel all happy.
Well,
and
he
shit.
Did.
He ain't allowed to do
he's
that.
The reason why my day was filled today. Did you have any last things you wanted to tell the fans before we head out?
Go stream False Kingdom. Keep an eye out for the 31st, my song with Not Lil to the Top releases. Keep an eye out for April because I got a song with another song with I Am Rage. And come check if you're in the area, if you're in Austin or in Texas and you got nothing better to do, come hang out. I'm gonna have some merch, I'm gonna have some vibes, I'm gonna have very minuscule shots of tequila that I'm gonna have because I'm broke as fuck and I like quality, not gasoline. So come on out, hang out, and
oh my god,
come mosh to songs that a white
thank
dude
you for that.
Made, because that's the fun
can't
thing
believe this. Oh, this guy's killing me. You guys can find him, Michael Riccardi, everywhere on social media. You can check him out also by the links provided down below for your convenience, you know, because I know some of y'all and I know some of you guys don't feel like clicking. I'm one of those people. And stick around because right after this, you all will get a chance to hear Poppity Lay and Feel Again, courtesy of Michael for sending our way. So thank you again. My phone keep buzzing. Stop it. Sorry. Anyway, I will catch you all. I'm going to just stare at the wall and try to lay down for the night. So, thank you guys for keeping me up all day. And I hope to see you guys next time. Remember, no drugs, no drinking. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. And please stay alive. You guys have a great rest of your night or day. I will see you all next time. Much love. Be blessed. Have a good one. Peace out.
Hello,
Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight as we dove into a wonderful podcast episode. Now, in this following segment, you will get a chance to hear this artist's showcase, because every artist that comes on the show requires to do a showcase. So buckle up, get some popcorn, and enjoy the showcase. I hope you guys love it, and check out the artist when you get a chance to. Hope you guys love it. Enjoy.
To you again, grip so tight, I think that I am going stiff. Let me in, banging on your fence. One more chance, I'm on my knees begging. We keep coming back to this. I'm certainly losing it. Don't know why we keep happening. You've got a tightrope that I'm walking.
Me.
Hey,
me in the back row. And I know you haven't let go. With your hooks scarred into my bones, I have lost all of your hope.